When our family first moved to Ames, Iowa back in 2004, we were excited for a variety of reasons. And one of them was that we were moving to a city that had a Division I university program with Division I sports. And of course, I love football, and Iowa State had a big football stadium, and it was exciting. And on top of that, my boss, my new boss, was a chaplain for the football team. And so one day when he asked me, "Hey, Andy, you want to join me on the sidelines for the spring football game?" I thought, okay, that'd be great. And so I did. And I got to be down there on the sidelines with him. And I was nervous, but I was all in because I love football. And I'd never been in that kind of environment. I mean, the stadium had like 50,000 seats. It was new for this North Dakota kid, all right? And the players were some of the best in the country. I know you Wisconsin Badgers fans might argue with that, but you know, they're good players. And the coaches were elite coaches. And I got to tell you, I felt pretty out of place being down there on the sideline. It was my first time in that kind of environment. Why did I feel out of place? Because I was. I was. I mean, I had no reason to be there on the sidelines except for one thing. I came by way of invitation. Pastor David invited me to be with him on the sidelines. His credentials paved the way for my access. And as the game went on, there were moments where I felt particularly out of place, but then I had to remind myself, "Andy, it's okay. You're supposed to be here. Pastor David said you could." And so you don't have to feel conspicuous. Enjoy yourself. Don't be timid. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done, isn't it? Anybody ever experienced those kind of moments? You know, depending on your personality, I think a lot of us sometimes end up in environments where that's the case, where we just don't quite feel at home. I mean, maybe it's a hoity-toity gala, or maybe you got invited over to your spouse's boss's house for dinner. That's an opportunity to feel a little uncomfortable, right? Maybe you're asked to give a speech at a funeral or even a business event or something like that. We know what it is to feel out of place, maybe a lot, maybe a little. And I think this shows up in our relationship with God too. Sometimes we feel out of place in our relationship with the Lord. See, maybe we go to church or we open our Bible, we sit down and we read and we pray, and all we can think about is how out of place we feel. Why is that? Well, for a lot of us, it's because this card here is lingering on our minds. This card that says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins." We can't get past this fact that we are lost. We're messed up in our sin. And so when we come to the Lord, all we can think of is that angry conversation we had with our spouse or our child, or that thing we looked at on the internet, or that carnal desire we had for somebody at work, or that affair, or that lie, or that whatever it was. And rather than resting with our Heavenly Father, though we've already asked for forgiveness, and we know cognitively that we've been forgiven, rather than resting with our Father, all we feel is restless. And see, if that's you tonight, I want you to be reminded of what Christ accomplished on Good Friday through his shed blood on the cross. See, when we bring our sin to the cross, no matter how great it is, no matter how significant our sin is, when we bring our sin to the foot of the cross, we can be at home with God. And so I want you to listen to these words that Pastor Art read for us earlier in the video. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." Now, the writer of Hebrews has just spent the better part of 10 chapters explaining to us the significance of the forgiveness that we have in relationship with Jesus Christ. He's been explaining to us the efficacy of the blood of Jesus. And just a couple of verses earlier, he says in chapter 10, verse 14, he says, "For by one sacrifice, he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy." By one sacrifice, by one shedding of blood, he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And see, church, under the old covenant, blood was a regular requirement for forgiveness. And so over and over, day after day, year after year, the priests would make sacrifices for the sins of the people. The shedding of blood was constant. It was relentless. And it was never enough. It constantly had to be repeated. But now, this beautiful message in Hebrews is that through the shed blood of Christ, through that pure and undefiled blood from that pure and spotless lamb from Jesus Christ, that blood that has no stain of sin, the ongoing sacrifices of bulls and goats is no longer necessary. The blood of Jesus is altogether sufficient. And so in Hebrews 10, verses 17 and 18, the writer quotes God, and in light of Jesus' shed blood, God says, I will remember their sins no more. I'll remember their lawless deeds no more. And then it says, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Where there's forgiveness of these, there's no need for ongoing sacrifice. Jesus finished the sacrifice. He finished the work at Calvary. Praise God, right? You can say amen to that. Amen. But there's a problem. See, though the work is done, we far too often walk around like it isn't. We far too often behave as if it's not done. And we carry our sins around with us as if they're lingering with us on this black piece of paper with our name on it, as if we have some scarlet letter that's indelibly attached and relentlessly reminding us that we don't belong here, that our sin is too great. And that if the Lord really took us seriously, there's no way that he would want anything to do with us. And so we walk around and we come to church and we open our Bibles and we pray, but we're constantly carrying around this heavy burden of our sin as if the blood of Jesus never did a thing. But that's why what the writer of Hebrews tells us is so fantastic. It's so incredible. It's so beautiful. See, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 19, chapter 10, that because of what Jesus has done, that we can have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that's been opened to us through the curtain that is his body. That is good news. That's gospel news, church. We have confidence to enter in. Confidence to enter where? The writer says, into the most holy place, into the Holy of Holies. We read about it earlier in Matthew. That curtain that was torn separated the Jews from the presence of God in the temple. When Jesus died, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. And no longer is the holiness of God kept separate from the followers of God. We've been given access. We've been given admittance into God's presence. And see, when Jesus shed his blood for us, we were invited to be washed in that blood. We were invited to be prepared in that blood, to be made clean. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says, for you know that you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Church, if we're in Christ, we've been redeemed. We've been washed. We've been given access to God. And because of that, the temple veil has been torn. There's no longer separation. We can press into that Holy of Holies, that place of God's Shekinah glory. It's now been opened to us. We're invited in. Guess what? We belong. We belong with the Lord. I want to ask you something tonight, and I want you to do a little self-reflection here. Have you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin? Have you repented of it? Have you agreed that you fall short of God's glory like it says in Romans 3:23? Have you understood that the wages of sin is death? Have you acquiesced to that reality? And once you've understood that, have you believed that Jesus died for your sins? That what we were celebrating here tonight is actually truth, that it's history, that Jesus did rise up on a Roman cross with nails in his feet and his hands, that he suffered, that he died for you, but that he didn't stay dead, but that he rose from the dead. God's only Son stepped out of the grave, and now he lives. Now he's seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Do you believe that? And if you believe that, have you invited Jesus to forgive you? Have you opened yourself up to that effective work, that efficacious blood? Have you said, I want to be forgiven? Have you done that tonight? If you haven't, let me encourage you to do that. But church, my sense is, my expectation is that most of us have done that. Maybe not all, but a lot of us have. And so if you have, and again, I suspect you probably have, then guess what? You belong. You have access to God, not by your credentials. Okay, you don't bring anything to the table in this endeavor. You come by Jesus' credentials. That which he earned at the cross for you and for me. It's by the blood of Jesus that we enter into the presence of God. And friends, if you've received the Lord Jesus into your life, your sin does not define you. Your sin has no authority over you. Your sin is not held against you. And instead, you belong to God and you belong, get this, with God. You're qualified. You have the necessary credentials because you have his credentials. You've been washed in the blood. And so if you still feel like you don't belong, check this out. I knew that I was allowed on the sidelines of that football field, but I still didn't feel at home. Okay, I still felt awkward, except when I was standing next to Pastor David. He had a lot of things to do, a lot of people to connect with, and so he couldn't stand next to me the whole time, and I had to be a big boy. But when he was with me, I felt comfortable. You know why? Because he was the go-between between me and everybody else. All these people that I didn't know. And church, verse 21 in Hebrews chapter 10 says that Jesus is the great high priest over the house of God. You know what priests do? Priests in the Old Testament, you know what their job was? They were mediators. They were the go-betweens. They stood between the people and God, and they made it possible for the people to be with the Lord. A priest mediates between man and God. He's the go-between. And you know what Pastor David did for me when I was standing on that sidelines? He was the football priest for me in that moment, all right? And what he did is he said, "Hey guys, I want to introduce you to my friend. This is Andy." He stood between me and those people. He brought me in. I had no business being there, except I knew David. He was my mediator. In church, yes, Jesus died on a Roman cross. He did. He suffered brutally. He stopped breathing. He descended into a grave. But we'll rehearse this powerfully and beautifully on Sunday. He got up out of that grave, didn't he? And now he's seated next to the Father, at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's doing? He's mediating. He's saying, "Hey, I know that guy. Let me introduce you. Andy, he's with me." He's saying that about you too. And church, here's the reality. You and I, we have no business being in the presence of God, do we? I know what I've done. You know what you've done. We have no business. We have no standing before God in and of ourselves. Our sin is really significant. Our shame is massive. Our guilt is condemning. And next to a holy God, our utter brokenness is only that much more pronounced. And yet, we've been given access through a divine advocate who says, no. No, he or she, they're with me. I'm the Savior. She's been saved. He's been saved. They're mine. And so the text says then in verse 22, it says, don't draw back. Instead, draw near to God with a sincere heart. You need not be afraid. You belong. How do we do that? Well, there's three things that the writer gives us in terms of how we approach God. First, he says we do it with confidence. The text says, draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Not confident in ourselves, mind you, right? We're not confident in what we bring. We're confident because we're with Jesus. We're confident in Jesus who secures our faith with his blood. I had to constantly remind myself, I'm okay. It's okay to be here. I was starstruck, but I'm with David. It's all right. Church, you're with Jesus. Jesus brings you in. We come with confidence as we draw near to God. Second, we draw near to God with a true heart, not only with confidence, but also with clarity. We draw near to God with clarity, with a clear conscience. The text says that by the blood of Jesus, our hearts have been sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And see, there's an evil one that would persuade us that the blood of Jesus really wasn't enough, that our sin is too great, that our shame is too great, that we cannot stand unashamed in God's presence. And yet, we know that his blood is enough. And the writer of Hebrews invites us, come with a clear conscience. Don't minimize what Jesus has done for you. He died to set you free. His blood is enough. So come with confidence. Come with a clear conscience. And finally, come with cleanliness. Come with cleanliness. Have you ever been around someone who hasn't bathed in a long time? Not a pleasant thought, right? Maybe more accurate to our family. Have you ever been around someone who spent 10 weeks in football practice and never washed their practice clothes or pads? And then they got in your truck? That may or may not have happened to us, right? It's kind of rancid, isn't it? It's a bit repulsive. And were it not for the relationship, it might not go so well. Church, sometimes we come to God and all we can think about is this little black piece of paper. All we can think about is how rancid we are, how badly we've messed up, how God must be repulsed at our sin. All we can think about is our name next to this statement, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, and we stop there. We assume that we're somehow repulsive to God, like he can't help but scrunch up his nose and just barely tolerate us. Church, that's not the case. That's not the case. If you're in Christ, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, then you've been made clean by the blood of Jesus. And so though we tend to recoil at the sin of others, we do that, don't we? God doesn't recoil from us. You know the last time God recoiled from someone that he loved? It was when Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus experienced separation from the Father so that you and I wouldn't have to, so that you and I can draw near, unashamed, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Jesus allowed our mess to be on his shoulders. He suffered for us. He carries our sin all the way to his death. And church, we can draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And tonight, let me invite you, don't let the blood of Jesus remain ineffectual for you. He suffered, he died, he shed his blood that you might come with confidence, that you might come with clarity, a clean conscience, that you might come with cleanliness. Let his blood be enough, not only for the sins of the whole world, but let it be enough for you tonight.